We invite you to enjoy this sermon presented by the Reverend Bob Geckler on July 14, 2024 at the Wearsdale Presbyterian Church of Wearsdale, Florida. The title is, Can You Hear Me Now?
And our gospel reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he is Elijah. And others claimed, he is a prophet like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with a request. I want you to give me, right now, the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed. Because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be with me in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the Old Testament book, 1 Samuel chapter 3, we hear how the Lord God called to Samuel. Samuel was, at the time, a fairly young boy, though the Bible never tells us his actual age. Some Bible scholars have suggested he was likely about 12 years old. God calls out, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel thinks it was the priest Eli who called out to him. So he goes to Eli and says, here I am, you called to me? Eli tells him to go back to bed. I didn't call you. This happens three times. The third time, Eli realizes that it is the Lord calling to Samuel, and he tells young Samuel to go back to his bed. If the Lord calls again, he is to answer, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. The Lord, of course, does again call Samuel, and Samuel responds as Eli told him to. And so begins the long road of serving the Lord in Samuel's life. Similarly, in the sixth chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, He tells of hearing the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And then the response, "Here I am, send me." We are each called in some way. How, or even if we answer the call, is our own decision to make. When God calls us to serve, no doubt there are plenty of times that we ignore or at least brush aside that calling. Like Samuel, thinking, "It can't be God wanting me for something." God doesn't give up, though. If we don't respond right away, God will try again, perhaps in a different way. One can almost imagine God shouting, "Can you hear me now?" What we are called to is as varied as each of us is individually. Some are called to be pastors and preachers, some to teach, some to visit and care for those who are sick or in need, some to run audio and video equipment, some to do repairs and care for the property, some to help with administration, some to sweep the floors, some to feed hungry people. The list is endless. One is not more important nor somehow closer to God, simply different. All are important and all are needed. There are no sergeant stripes in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. No one in any way outranks another. We all have our place, and every role is significant. We are all part of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses the analogy of our physical body parts to the body of Christ. He concludes, "God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." You and I, my friends, are parts of that one body of Christ. As we heard in our reading from Ephesians, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. Those words of Paul were not just meant for the people in Ephesus, a city in ancient Greece. They are also meant for us. Think of how important that is. God chose us, you and me, for a purpose. The church at Ephesus that Paul was writing to was one of the more stable and successful churches that had been planted. Seemingly little conflict in the congregation and generally pretty healthy. Yet even then, like a healthy plant, it needs some nourishing and care to keep it that way. That is at least a part of what Paul is doing here in this letter. He reassures them that they have been chosen and blessed through Christ, and reminds them that they, though they may not be sinless, they are forgiven through the love and grace of Jesus. Certainly, a good start to building up their self-image and confidence. In the psalm that we read together, we heard, "Let me hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land." We are listening for what the Lord God has to say to us, his faithful people. When God speaks to us, he guides us. He may call us to serve in some way. He may at times need to remind us that we are falling away from the path that we should be following. He may just be reminding you and me of his love and forgiveness, his salvation for those of us who fear him. The word fear in this context is not meant as an unpleasant emotion of being afraid of or scared of, as of danger or bad things, but has an alternate meaning of having profound reverence and awe. It is in that sense that we listen for God's voice in our lives. We usually hear about John the Baptist during the Advent season, so our gospel reading assigned for today may seem a bit out of place. I do try to stay with the assigned readings from the common lectionary used by most mainline churches, including the Presbyterian Church USA. And yes, this is the gospel assigned for today. I'm not going to go into much about this reading, except that it is important to remember that John the Baptist was one who certainly did faithfully answer the call from God to spread the message, to repent, to accept the ways of God, and turn away from our own ways. John called us to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our world and to come into our lives and our hearts. In a sense, this is also what Paul was reminding the Ephesians of, though at the other side of Christ's earthly ministry. We need to hear that reminder over and over, that Jesus wants to come into our hearts, to be a part of who we are, who we are called to be. Fanny Crosby was a Methodist born in 1820. She became blind when she was only 6 weeks old. As she grew, she depended on her grandmother, who described the beauty of the world to her and introduced her to the Bible. With the encouragement of Mrs. Hawley, with whom they lived, Fanny began memorizing passages from scriptures, and the poetry of the Bible spoke to her. She got into trouble for making up poems, but she continued. She believed that God had placed a gift within her, a unique calling. She said, "I seem to have been led little by little toward my work, and I believe that the same fact will appear in the life of anyone who will cultivate such powers as God has given him, and then go on bravely, quietly, but persistently doing such work as comes to his hands." Fanny Crosby became a prolific poet, writing up to 7 hymns a day, including "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," and "Blessed Assurance." She died at the age of 95, having written more than 8,000 hymns, 16 of which are in our celebration hymnal in the pews. She had a great talent, as does each one of you. We are all called to use the gifts and talents we have received for the glory of God. Wherever we are in life, may we answer that call joyously and faithfully. We celebrate that today. Amen. Please be with me again in prayer. Lord God, may we listen for your voice, sometimes calling us, sometimes simply reminding us of your presence in our lives. Like Samuel, like John the Baptist, like Paul, may we answer your call with enthusiasm and faith. In your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have heard a sermon delivered on July 14, 2024 at the Wearsdale Presbyterian Church of Wearsdale, Florida by the Reverend Bob Geckler. The title was, Can You Hear Me Now? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.